This is Easter. Does anybody need to say? And I remember one time, it is so translated in the, I believe it was the King James Bible, where Paul was making his way back to Jerusalem. He wanted specially to be there for this, for the observance of this holy day. So it isn't in any way bad for us to observe the day. It's an important day. It is the day that the Lord Jesus was resurrected from the grave. It is the day that that it happened. Only one time in history that a person who was who died was buried, came back and lived and walked among the people that he knew before he died and was buried. So Easter is important. Unfortunately, what has happened over the years, when you become habituated in the pattern of observing an occasion, that we become completely caught up in the occasion and miss the significance of it. We forget, in fact, what it has reference to. More than that, actually, we have seen it degenerate to the place where it becomes an occasion for what? Easter, honey Easter eggs? What does that have to do with the resurrection? It has to do with bonnets that women wear on the occasion. What does that have to do with the resurrection? And that becomes the absorbing thing, preparation for it and then engagement on the day. It is for these things that are quite peripheral, actually things that have entirely nothing to do with the occasion that we announce, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become so caught up in the peripheral things that have come to surround the essence, that we completely miss the essence and have only the what is peripheral. And that's what Easter consists of. Now, God had a special relationship with Israel. And during his time, during the time that God dealt with Israel as a nation, there were feasts and holy days they were to observe. And these feasts and holy days had a particular significance, a spiritual significance, which is really where the meat was for the people. But after practicing these traditions over the years, they completely forgot about what the traditions meant and what the feasts represented, because they were all consumed by the pageantry that had grown up around the observance. And so God got nothing from it. Because this became such a pernicious thing for the spiritual good of the people, that they were going on with the things as if they really were representing what they meant, but it was completely out of their minds. God spoke to them at length and said to them, with regard to their observances, he said, I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And I will not even look at the peace offerings. He says, take away from me the noise of your songs. So the songs that were intended to be worship in the first instance became nothing but noise in the ears of God. And he said, take away from me your noise. Is it possible that we today are only making noise? Because we have missed the essence of what the occasion represents. It is so easy to do. And I'm afraid that everywhere people are prancing about with the festivities and the pageantry of Easter, but very few people are engaged with the person of Easter. God wants us to be engaged with the person of Easter. And so, I just read to you from the book of Amos chapter 5, for your reference, if you wish to follow it up. Amos chapter 5, verses 21 through 23, I read in part. I'm not telling you, that's for your reference. Now I want to turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul used of God, chosen a chosen instrument, chosen vessel, he is called. He writes here, he says, I, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart to the gospel of God. He's called as an apostle. What it has to do with the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want to just call your attention to a few highlights in this, and we'll stop. Paul speaks of being set apart for the gospel of God. It is the gospel of God. Why? Because it originates with God. God is the source of it. So it is the gospel of God. Verse 3 says, concerning his son. The gospel of God concerning his son. So God is the source. The glorious subject is his son. His son is the subject of that gospel. And this son is set forth to us as Son of Man and Son of God. His Son It's the gospel of God concerning a son who was born of the descendant of David according to the flesh, but who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. So the resurrection was the declaration that he was the Son of God. This is the subject of Easter. That a man, the God-man, came and paid a price on behalf of creatures who could not pay that price for themselves, though they were in dire need of it. And that gospel, proceeding from God, has authority. That tells us about the authority of that gospel. Why? Its source is God. God commands men everywhere now to repent. Through that gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, according to the Spirit, David's Son, according to the flesh. David is chosen. He could have been called the son of Abraham. Here he's called the son of David. And that has to do with his place as son of David. He will reign ultimately. The judge who will reign over all. And he will call the judgments with regard to all. He said, the Father has committed all judgment to me. He's the one who's going to judge us. But today, we have the good news that he has borne the judgment for all who believe on him. For just as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment, so the Lord Jesus Christ has born in the stead of those who will certainly die, the judgment that was necessary to deliver them from the condemnation that follows. So he says to the people that he addresses in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 24, says, amen, amen. Pay attention. I'm saying to you, he who believes on him that sent me shall not come into the judgment, but is passed already out of judgment into life. Or death, rather, into life. You see, our normal state is death. We're dead, Ephesians tells us. Ephesians 2 tells us, we're dead in trespasses and sins. We're spiritually dead. By nature, that's what we are. But we've had the intervention of the Son of God on our behalf, so that we might be spared the judgment. So, this morning, it is laid in your lap, if you have not yet taken advantage of what God has provided for you. It is in your lap. And the opportunity is there for you to accept the judgment that Jesus bore at the cross when he died, was buried, and rose again. He did that so that you and I might have life. Have you chosen to accept that offer that he makes to you? That is the wonderful, glorious offer that is available to you right now. If you would trust him, believe on him, have life, be delivered from the condition of death, skip the judgment. You don't have to do the judgment anymore, because he did it. He did it on the cross. And so you go from the condition of death clear over to the condition of life. That is God's offer to you this morning. And I urge you not to miss it, so that when Easter comes around again, you will be able to participate in the triumphant song declaring his resurrection from the dead. It'll mean something to you. It won't be just a story, because you will also realize that you have been raised with him out of death. Oh, that you will hear his voice, and that you will respond to that. Be forgiven forever. Let's commend ourselves to the Lord. Our Father in God, we thank you for this glorious gospel, originating with God. We thank you for its glorious subject, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of Man, Son of God. We pray that by the Spirit who raised him from the dead, that you will be pleased this morning to raise from the dead any here who may still be dead in trespasses and sins. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.